Please be seated. Very powerful song. It may not mean much to you, but to me, as a preacher of the gospel, that song there has a whole lot of meaning. I lay awake at night thinking about you. I lay awake at night thinking about the church, thinking about the condition that I see God's people in. And you know, and sometimes I don't go to sleep, but I know God's going to fix it after a while. May not be when Stan wants it to be, but I'm sure that he's going to fix it after a while. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. I don't know about you. I'm excited. Well, I pretty much try to stay that way when it's time to proclaim the gospel of Christ. You know, I've tried a lot of things in my 66 years of life, and you're somebody saying, oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Well, I'm hoping I can see the rest of it then. But you know, in the time that I've spent on this time side of life, and like I've said, I've tried and I've done a whole lot of things that most people probably would never ever attempt to try. But one thing I've found that since I obeyed the gospel, boy, I've been so happy. You know, I used to think that when I was in the world, boy, I was living. I got a witness in here. Boy, I used to thought I was living large. But you know what? When I obeyed God, I found out that, man, that is nothing to compare to what I have right now. You may not understand, but, you know, I'm learning that because of who God is and because of who he say I am, man, life has meaning. Life has purpose to me. I don't have to go around anymore worried about nothing. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5, he says, cast all your cares upon me, for he cares for you. And then Peter reminds the believer, be sober, be vigilant. Why? The devil's out to get me. Well, if I know he's coming, how should I behave myself on this time side of life? That's why Paul says you got to study daily. You got to meditate daily. Why? Because the adversary is out to destroy you. You know, we've been looking at this text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and every time I go back to this text, I find something even more powerful than what I saw the first time I started. But in this text here, the Apostle Paul reminds God's people of who they are and how we ought to be the forerunners and not the backseaters. I better say that again. We ought to be the forerunners and not the backseaters. If anyone has a message, it ought to be us. If anyone ought to be excited, it ought to be us. But you know, sometimes we are some of the most miserable people on the face of the earth. This is not part of my lesson, but this ain't gonna cost you nothing. You know why? Because people are looking at us. People are having some serious issues. You can't help them if you're in the same boat they in. That's why Jesus says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What do I got to do, Jesus? Take my yoke. And I'm learning that the yoke of Jesus is more simple than anything on the face of the earth. He asked me to do two things. Love his Father with all my heart, soul, and mind, and love you. In spite of you. I better say that again. Love you in spite of you. Love my neighbor as myself. And so I want to encourage you as we look at Paul's letter to the church here. As ambassadors of Christ. In the title of the lesson this morning, as ambassadors of Christ, we are the epitome of L-O-V-E. That's right. If anyone has the right to talk about the love of God, it ought to be us. If anyone really believed that God is who he said, we ought to be shouting this stuff from the rooftops. But I can't even get you to shout up in here. Amen, walls. That's all right. I'm going to talk to the wall this morning. Y'all don't have to say nothing. Because this morning, as we look at this lesson, and as we prepare our minds for service, yes, we're going to celebrate Mother's Day. I'm going to go home, get real comfortable. Amen. But you know, for the next few minutes, I got a message on my heart from God himself. And I want to challenge each and every one of us to ask ourselves a question. if he was to call you right now, what would he say to you? And see, and everybody knows what he's going to say. You know whether or not you're doing what he commands. You know whether or not you've been walking in the light as he is in the light. But this morning, I want to show you that as ambassadors of Christ, we are the example, we are the epitome of the love of God himself. John chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Paul said, God demonstrated how much he loved me in that while I was yet a sinner, Christ had already died for me. Boy, you talk about a guarantee that I can't even begin to pay. But guess what? I'm going to try my utmost. That's why I do what I do. I'm trying to repay the debt that transpired on Calvary. And if I can't do nothing but live for him, boy, I'll live in such a way that men and women are drawn to the cross merely by that example. I want to encourage us this morning that as children of God, we ought to be the very epitome of love itself. But see, I'm understanding that everybody understands what love is or what they think love is. But I really want to show you this morning that as ambassadors of Christ, we have a message for a dying world where the world don't know which way it's headed. You and I ought to be able to help straighten them out. And see, we can straighten them out if we love them in spite of themselves. Now, don't misunderstand that. I'm not saying cover up anything, but I want to show you that when we understand how much God loved us, boy, we'll love people in spite of themselves. 1 John chapter 3 and round about verse number 1. John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. He's not talking about the folk in the world. Although the folk in the world do have the love that comes from God. Because he said he allows it to rain on the just as well as the unjust. But if any man be in Christ, totally different type of love that he bestows upon us. And John here is trying to show the believer what kind of love God has bestowed upon us. And the love that he's bestowed upon us, we ought to transfer that love to everybody we come in contact with. You want the answer to all the problems in the world? It's the love that comes from God. And guess what? He has enlisted each and every one of us that have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ. He's given you the same type of love that he had in his own son. But the question is, do you really demonstrate that love? And I want to show you this morning that when you really understand the love that comes from God, man, you'll love people in spite of whatever they do to you. Because love is not predicated upon what someone does or what someone will not do. See, the love I'm talking about is agape, unmerited love. How many of us have that? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Because the love I'm talking about goes beyond you. John says, beloved, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as, boy, that's some powerful stuff there. And I don't know about you. We were talking about death this morning. It don't bother me. Don't misunderstand. I ain't in a hurry. But I already know that when he closed his eyes, he's promised me a crown that fadeth not away. And guess what? I'm going to hold him to it. And that's not bragging. That's not bragging. That's based upon the evidence. He says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he will give him the desires of his heart. My desire is to make heaven my home. And if I have a desire to make heaven my home, and how many of y'all got a desire? Amen. Huh? Y'all quiet this morning. How many of you really got a desire to make heaven your home? Amen. Are you really ambassadors? Or you just faking the funk? Because true ambassadors really understand their mission, their goal, their responsibility. If the world is in a mess, if the church is in a mess, open up your pocketbook and pull out your mirror. Because we're in a mess, because we refuse to surrender our will to the will of God. Oh, yeah, trouble's in my way. Oh, yeah, I'm praying and I'm looking at the Lord's house and I am concerned, but I've learned one thing. August will be 30 years. I've learned one thing. You belong to God. You belong to God, not me, because if you belong to me, oh, will I hand out some slips. But you belong to God. And so therefore, if you belong to God, then I got to love you like God loves you, in spite of you. But church, I just stopped by this morning to show us that if we understand the love that God had for all of humanity, and he has love for all of humanity. Galatians chapter 5 and round about verse 26, Paul says, for we are all. He's just not talking to the body of believers. He's talking to the world. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But as many of us that are baptized into Christ have a special relationship with God. And that special relationship is a covenant relationship based upon the promise that transpired on Calvary's mountain. John says in verse number 2, beloved, now are we sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse number 3 says, and every man that has this hope. I'm learning that you can be sitting here and have no hope at all. I'm learning that when you really want to do something, you will climb the highest mountain. You will walk through muddy water to get whatever you want. If you really want to make heaven your home, who can stop you? Who can hinder you? Nobody but yourself. And so John says, beloved, God has bestowed of love upon us. And I'm learning that the only way you can understand your ambassadorship is you got to understand the love that God bestowed upon each and every one of us that went into this watery grave. 1 John chapter 4 and round about verse number 7. John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that love is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I'm trying to get us to see that as ambassadors of Christ, when we really understand the love that God had for all of humanity, it'll motivate us beyond just merely lip service. Jesus said, I would that you were hot, cold, but since you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, Jesus says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Church, I'm learning that if there's ever been a time of commitment in this life of a believer, look at the world in which we live in. I'm reminded that in the days of Israel, when they started to reject God, look at the church today. We have a 5 o'clock service. And I can count who's going to be here. Oh, yeah, don't look at me funny. Peter says, whatsoever you bound on earth is bound in heaven. Is it bound? Paul told Titus, this ain't going to cost you nothing because this might be my last sermon. Paul told Titus, I've left thee in Crete to set in order the things that are wanting. What do you want me to do, Paul? Ordain elders. Why, Paul? So they can guide and govern the church. Is the church responsible to the eldership? Yes. Should they give an account? Yes. And who told you you couldn't? Ooh, y'all quiet. That don't cost you nothing. That ain't part of my lesson. But don't know how I got there. But church, I'm learning he's going to hold me accountable. If I'm going to be held accountable for your blood, well, I got to give it to you, because in the final analysis, I'm going to heaven with you or without you. And as a true ambassador of Christ, as long as I tickle your ears, I'm in good standings with you. Amen, walls. But boy, when I put a little heat on that seat, I'm no longer that good old preacher. I don't know how I got there, but they don't cost you nothing. But church, I'm trying to get us to see that this could be each and every one of us last day on earth. And if we are going to stand before him and give an account, you know what? You can shuck and jive me all day long. But there will be a time when you won't be able to do that before God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account to everything that's done in the body. If I got to give an account for you, you rest assured I'm going to make sure that your blood is not on my hands. I mean, I got enough with the three people inside of me, let alone. Oh, yeah, y'all looking at me funny. Some of y'all got more than that. But we won't go there this morning. But church, I just stopped by this morning to show us that we are the epitome of love because we are the ambassadors for Christ. Because we have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, and because we've been transferred from darkness into this marvelous light, church, you and I have an awesome responsibility. That responsibility is to help men and women see that in the midst of everything that goes on around them, there's a better way. And that way is the love that comes from God. But see, that's something that must be demonstrated every single day as members of the body of Christ. In Galatians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17, sometimes I think we forget that we've been washed. We've been sanctified. We have been set apart from this world. If the world is going to change, it's got to start here. We got to be the ones that set the standard and not the world. Christ set the standard on Calvary. And if we've obeyed from the heart the gospel, guess what? He wants us to be the example to each and every person we come in contact with. Jesus said that you will know his disciples. You will know his ambassadors. How? By how much we fuss and fight. How much we complain. How much we don't show up. Yeah, y'all quiet. That's right. I figured I might as well get all this in. So if you're going to get mad, you might as well go home right way. Hey, amen, Walls. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. You are my ambassador. How? By the love we have for one another. Jesus here says, it's a demonstration of what you say you are that the world will know who we truly are. Paul reminds the believer in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when the church there got all concerned about these spiritual gifts, Paul reminded them, ask for the best one, and I'll show you something even better than the best gift you can ever have. And church, and I'm learning that God gives us all talents. He gives us all gifts to use to his glory. But are we like the man that took the one talent and buried it in the ground? Church, if there's ever been a time that you and I need to step up to our ambassadorship, look at the world we live in. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and round about verse number 30, look at what Paul says. Paul addressed these individuals and remind them that speaking in tongues, healing, and all of this stuff is important. He says, but there's something even better than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and round about verse 29, Paul says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, all workers of miracles, have all the gift of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gift. And yet I'll show you a more excellent way. And I love chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians 13 because a lot of us, not maybe here, but a lot of us make a lot of noise and ain't doing nothing. Ooh-wee, Stan, what you doing? I'm just reminding you, this might be my last sermon. And I want to make sure that I be like Paul was to the church at Ephesus. In Acts chapter 20 and round about verse number 26, Paul says, I'm innocent of the blood of every man, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. And I want to be like Paul. So when my time comes, I'm not worried about nothing because I've done what God requires of me. Once again, don't cost you nothing. 1 Corinthians 13 and round about verse number 1, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men, and of angels, and have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. And I want you to look at verse 4 and following, because when we talk about love, it talks about going beyond the physical man to get to this spiritual man, because only the spiritual man can do the next few things. Love suffers long. How long? Long. And it's kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not its own. Is not easily provoked. Anybody here get it? It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Ooh, I wish I had time, but I'd be here to midnight if I just talked about thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Bears all things, believe all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. But where there is prophecy, it shall fail. Where there is tongues, they shall cease. Where there is knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And I like verse number 11. When I was a child, we got some old children. Amen. In the church. Paul says, when I was a child, and can y'all remember when you was a child? How many of y'all were bad? Come on. Boy. Boy, I want to get to the essence of it. Because, see, in order for you to really understand where I'm going with this, you got to be honest with you. Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. She didn't talk to me. He didn't shake my hand. He walked right by me. Is that childish? Paul says, when I became a man, I put away those childish things. Verse 12 says, for now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Church, I want to encourage us as ambassadors of Christ that we really understand we are the epitome of love. And I'm learning that when we really understand what love really is, boy, it'll change your life. It'll change your whole outlook on everything you have. See, Tina said, love is a secondhand emotion. Man, Tina was wrong. Love. A true love is understanding what God did for all of mankind. Genesis chapter 1, he made us in his image. Genesis chapter 2, he made a helpmate. Not somebody like me, but someone that... Amen. And then he told us, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. But when sin entered into the garden, God had to let us go. But Genesis chapter 3 and round about verse number 15, he made a way back to him through his son. Genesis chapter 6, God said, I repent. When you got God repenting, you know something is up. I repent that I ever made man. But he had already had a promise to send our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And see, when you understand what love is all about, it'll help you beyond what you can even imagine. Once again, I got a little acronym for you here, and using the word L-O-V-E. Love, I'm learning you got to learn to follow Jesus. Amen. I've followed a whole lot of folk in my time, and they've led me down the wrong road. Amen. But I'm learning that when you follow Jesus, You don't have to worry about anyone else. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and round about verse number 1, Paul says, follow me as I follow Jesus. And see, and I'm learning that when you follow Jesus, you don't have to worry about anything. When you follow Jesus, you become an example of what Jesus wants us to truly be. See, Jesus wants us to follow him. For what reason? So we can bring others to the cross. And I'm learning that when we really follow Jesus, church, it brings about a different lifestyle in our lives. And I'm learning that the more we follow Jesus, the more we'll understand who we really are as children of God, as ambassadors of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 11. Paul says, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation, in love and spirit and faith and purity. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on hand of the eldership. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Paul says, when you do these things, you don't have to walk around with a cross around your neck or all on your bumper sticker. Amen. I'm learning that when you really know Jesus Christ, you don't have to say a word. It'll be demonstrated by your actions. Verse number 16, Paul says, take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Church, we got a responsibility. As ambassadors of Christ, when we believe what we believe, you don't have to worry about shoving nothing down nobody's throat. No, they'll follow you because they'll follow the example that you set. And that example that you set is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, we must learn to follow Christ, and then we got to learn how to be obedient to God. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus says, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? You know, does that make any sense to you? If I tell Nicholas to go upstairs and get me something, I expect Nicholas to get up, go upstairs, and get me what I asked for. Don't bring me something that I didn't ask for. I didn't ask for that. What am I trying to say? That's what God wants. He says, why are you going to call me Lord, Lord? Why do you think heaven, you deserve heaven, and you ain't doing nothing? Huh? Why would you? We got to learn to obey him. Jesus set the standard of how to obey God. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Then being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. If Jesus was willing to die to do the will of his Father, who told you you can do anything less? Peter said, all that desire to live godly in this present world will. I'm not the smartest in the world, but when you say will, that means something got to happen. Will suffer persecution. Peter told the church, he says, thinking not strange, 1 Peter chapter 4 and round about verse number 11, thinking not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of the divine nature. And then Peter says, if any man suffer, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And if you suffer as a Christian, glorify God. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. You defamed anybody this week? This past week? You talked about somebody this past week? Ooh, really, Lord, forgive me. Oh, yeah. I'm honest with me. I don't know about you because, see, I got to stand before him. He says, let none of you suffer as a murderer. And all of us are guilty as being thieves. Amen. Oh, preacher, nah, I'm not. You stole any time this past week from God? Amen. Hmm? Did you steal some time that you didn't give him the glory that was due him? I don't care how much you get up and read your Bible and claim to do this and that. But see, God owns all of our time. And we should be praising his name 24/7. And we should be giving him the honor and the glory that's due him. See, we must learn to reverence, to be obedient to God. And the way we are obedient to God, we must surrender our will to the will of him. 2 Philippians chapter 2, Paul says that Jesus Christ came. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Give me that real quick. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery. He didn't want to take nothing from his father. You know, I heard Dan say yesterday about Victor that he has a real humble and he's willing to suffer. That's the attitude we're supposed to have. The attitude that we're willing to put you before me. You ever thought about that? We're supposed to put other folks before ourselves. And that's so important. He said, although he was a son. Nope. My brain just went back to that one. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. The Bible said he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Church, I'm learning to really be obedient to God. It requires every bit of your being. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus says, if any man desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. See, I'm learning that when you're obedient to God, it helps us to understand what we have. Amen. Oh, yeah, I don't know about you. That's why I can shout. I have the victory. Ray, we got the victory. Oh, somewhere down the line, church, if you can't get excited for this, you might as well just pack it on up and just gone on home. Why? Because, see, when you understand who you are, man, life has meaning. I don't need the toys because I got Jesus. I don't need all of the external things because I got Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus said that he will take care of everything else. John chapter 16 and around about verse number 32, Jesus says, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. John chapter 10 and verse number 10, the thief has come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, Stan, I've come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Boy, I've had a lot of things. I've done a lot of things, but I've never had nothing like this, Jesus. He wakes me up when I don't want to get up. Oh, yeah. He helps these feet get on solid ground when they don't even want to move. And I can give him glory and the thanks because he have allowed me to be on this time side of life. And when my time come, I told Sister Harmon, don't preach long. I like carnations and gone on about your business. Because I want to be like my Lord and Savior said I can be. That he'll dispatch the heavenly pallbearers to take me to the other side. See, I know I got pallbearers on this side, but I want them angels. Oh, yeah. And somewhere down the line, church, when we really believe this, when we really believe that we have the victory in Christ Jesus, it'll show in our everyday life. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and round about verse number 57. But thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do I get the victory, Paul? Verse 58 says, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor. You think I'm doing this because of you? No, I'm doing this because I'm looking at my crown. I'm doing this because I know one day I got to give up the ghost. But when I give it up, don't worry about me. You're going to have to worry about yourself. Because I'm going to be in the presence of my God. That's the confidence that an ambassador has. Do you think the United States would send an ambassador over there that didn't know nothing? Huh? I was glad somebody said yes. But as ambassadors of Christ, we ought to know something. We ought to know that the God of heaven sent the very best to reconcile man back to himself. As ambassadors of Christ, we ought to know that the love of God can change the world in which we live in. But we first and foremost got to be convinced that it'll do it. See, the victory we have in Christ Jesus will be played out in our eternal salvation. And that's what motivates me, to know that the love that God has for me and the love he gives me to give to you can make a difference in our lives. I want to encourage you, church. It's hard to believe that we're almost 6 months into this new year. I don't know if it's winding down quicker because I'm getting older.
No.
I don't want to think that either. But it's coming quick. When I can step and look at babies that are not babies anymore.
Right.
It seemed like Eli was born a couple months ago. He's already a year. Where did that time go? Oh, yes, I don't know about you. It's inventory time, church. It's inventory time to know that one day he's calling us from labor to the other side. What will it be? Well done or depart? Hope I've said something this morning to encourage your heart. Members of the body of Christ, we are ambassadors of God. And as ambassadors, let's live up to what we have voluntarily said we would do. Oh, yeah, nobody stuck a gun in my chest and told me to go preach the gospel. Nope. I said, Lord, here am I. Send me. And wherever you want me to go, I will go. Well, what about them folk down there that's not too pleasant? I'll go. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Members of the body of Christ, you've fallen short. You need to repent and get on the right track. Peter says it's best for those of us who know the truth to know it and to turn from it. Peter says it's best that you don't even know the truth. It's like the dog returning to his vomit. And after a pig, after you clean it up, goes right back into the world. He says it's best that we don't know the truth. But for those of you that are visiting that don't know the truth, you heard it this morning. Whether you accept it, well, that's between you and your God. You've heard the word, Romans 10:17. Do you believe what I said? John 20:30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in this book. These are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says I must repent of my sins, Luke 13:3. I must confess that he is the Son of a living God. To those of us who are believers, that's an ongoing confession. We do that every single day. Then the Bible says you must be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Contrary to popular belief, baptism is an immersion in the pool. Romans 6:1, Paul says, just like Christ was buried and rose again, so shall we when we go into this watery grave. And then he adds you to the church, which is his body. Colossians 1:18, Ephesians 1:22. The body is the church, and the church is the body. And the church is subject to Christ.
Amen.
Ephesians 5, and round about 30. Paul, in the context there, talks about marriage. And then at the end, he says, I tell you a mystery. He's talking about Christ and the church. If we're the bride of Christ, how many of us have been backsliding from him? I don't think my wife would like that. Not at all, huh? Not at all. But if we're the body of Christ, are we backsliding? Have we played the harlot? Oh, yeah, I want to leave you with this because it's so important, church. If we're going to be true ambassadors, it's time to step up, step out, and bring some souls to the Lord. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.